This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, as we just heard, a new Talk Business Hendricks College poll offered some insights into Arkansas politics. 675 voters were asked about their preferences for governor in 2014. Asa Hutchinson, a former congressman from the 3rd District, has announced he plans to seek the GOP nomination for that office. The poll asked voters about his candidacy head-to-head against two Democrats. Against former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, Asa Hutchinson has a 16-point lead, 47% to 31%, with 22% of respondents saying they didn't know between the two. Against former 4th District Congressman Mike Ross, Asa Hutchinson has a slimmer lead, 5 points, 43 to 38%. While Bill Halter has said he is seeking the Democratic nomination, Congressman Ross has not. Other announced candidates or people considering running for governor were not included in the poll. That poll also found 68% approval for Governor Mike Beebe's job performance and 43% approval of the legislature's job performance. 33% answering say they disapproved of the legislature's job performance.
Also in the poll, an 11-point swing in support for Medicaid expansion in Arkansas since the last Talk Business Hendricks poll. This month's results indicate 53.5% approval and 40% disapproval. The Medicaid expansion discussion is a part of the bigger budget process for the legislature this winter. Last week, Ruby Rock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with Larry Teague, a Democrat from Nashville, and co-chair of the Joint Budget Committee at the State Capitol to talk about the budget and Medicaid.
Where do you think you are in the budget process? There still seems to be a long ways to go, which is typical in a session, but this one for some reason feels a little longer in the drag.
I think the budget is moving, not slower than normal, but we haven't tackled any of the big subjects yet. And my assumption is until we decide what we're going to do with Medicaid expansion, we're not going to. We're talking and different groups are talking in the back rooms, but my assumption is you don't get to DHS, you don't get to education, you don't get to those big six, if you will, until we get down and figure out whether we're going to expand Medicaid or not. My assumption is that doesn't happen until the governor gets back from D.C. and his visit with Sebelius. We're moving maybe slow, but not horribly slow. We're getting stuff out. Sometimes we snag up. One of the things I think that we're doing in budget is we got some freshmen who are members of budget, and that's fairly unusual, though it's becoming more usual. Mm-hmm. And they're in a learning curve. They're trying to figure out what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so sometimes we get hung up with questions and dealing with that. But that's important that we all have some understanding of what we're doing. So I'm not uptight about it at this point. And you may remember when I chaired special language, we met at 6:30 one time. And I have no problem with meeting, coming back after we adjourn and meeting till 9 or 10 at night to take care of business when that time comes.
Let's pull ourselves back to Medicaid for a little bit. The governor, as you indicated, is going to go meet with the federal Department of Human Services, Health and Human Services Secretary. What question do you want answered? What would help you understand what the Medicaid budget picture will look like? What's the resolution that you need?
Well, I think from the budget point of view, we know that it's 100% funding through 17 and then 90% through 20. But I think that one of the things that the governors and the Department of Human Services tell us is that expansion helps fill in the deficit. And you know that, you remember that deficit started out at a $400 million mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago, and then it was 300, now it's 61 now. And there's some who doubt that it's that much. But I think until we know whether we're gonna get some help out of the expansion, I just think that we're hung up there until we know what we're doing there.
Do you think that the political will is there among 75% of the Senate, 75% of the House to expand Medicaid? I can tell you from my vantage point, I don't see that.
If you're asking me if we voted on it this afternoon, would it pass? It wouldn't come anywhere close, I don't think. I think it's that. But I think there are a goodly number of legislators on both sides of the aisle who are waiting for the answers to their questions that they've given Governor Beebe and that he is going to talk to Sebelius about, try to bring some answers back. So I don't know that it passes ever, but we got to get to a point that we're willing to say yay or nay let's either say yes, we're going to do it and move on, or let's say no, we're not going to do it and move on. I don't know how long we can just continue to talk about it without just getting on with business.
And you think this Sebelius meeting with the governor is what's going to give you guys that direction?
Well, I think that if the governor gets some legitimate give from Sebelius, and I don't know what that give is, maybe in a perfect world for some, it would be that he lets you lower it from 138 to 100%. There are other schools, other factions who would like to see something different. But I do think that legislators need to, I was in a meeting where they posed a whole bunch of questions to him. And most of them good, valid questions. They want their questions answered. One question that I don't understand is, when we talk about that if we don't expand Medicaid, that those people between 100% of poverty and 138% of poverty would then be able to get coverage on the exchange,
correct,
on the health exchange at a subsidized rate. Now, oftentimes I hear people say that rate would be $26 or $29 or $50. The numbers I've seen projected for the exchange, like for a 50-year-old woman, $1,500 a month. Now, even with a whole bunch of subsidy, you're not going to get that down to $26 or $50 or whatever. So that was the question I posed is, Governor, is it true that if we don't expand, and if these people between 100 and 138%, and as you know, we're talking about the working poor, mm-hmm, we're talking about people who make minimum wage or barely over that, is it true that those people, those constituents of mine, are going to be able to go to the exchange and buy insurance for $25 a month? I just, in my mind, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. You remember in real life, I am a independent insurance agent, small agent, don't sell a lot of health insurance, but I just don't see anybody going and buying a $25 insurance policy, even with a federal
subsidy.
Too
big of a gap,
yeah.
Too big of a gap. Do you think this Medicaid issue is just too challenging, too difficult for you guys to make a decision one way or the other? Do you think it could get to the point where you still don't have enough clarity from the feds and you just say, it's time for us to just decide, we can't make a decision on this based on what we have, let's don't do it?
Well, I hope at some point we vote just so we can say, yeah, we did try it, or no, we didn't. Yes, we want to do this, or no, we didn't. But I do think if we don't get the answers that some of them want from Sebelius, if we don't get some give from her, if the governor doesn't bring home some sort of give in the program, that it's very unlikely we'll get it done.
Where do you personally stand on the concept?
You know, I've not staked out any ground yet, but let me just tell you, I am a rural advocate. You know, I'm a product of rural Arkansas. I represent rural Arkansas, and I love rural Arkansas. I already am very aware of the healthcare problems that we have in rural Arkansas. It's a long way to the hospital. It's a long way to specialists. And I believe that if we don't expand it, our few remaining rural hospitals are going to be at risk. So it's I haven't staked out my ground yet because I don't know as much as I want to know about it. Mm-hmm. But it'll be hard for me to be against it because I understand that if we lose our rural hospitals, we brought our last job to rural Arkansas, our last corporate job. And that when a corporation who has a plant in Nashville is looking to expand and they're checking off their checklist over where to do that, and they look and see there's no health care in Nashville or there's no health care in wherever, then they're going to set that aside and move on to the next plant where there is health care for their employees.
Ruby Rock talked to Larry Teague, co-chair of the Joint Budget Committee at the state legislature at the state capitol last week. You can hear more at talkbusiness.net. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
Syria is one of the militant group Hezbollah's most important backers. Along with Iran, they're known as the Shiite Axis. But after 2 years of civil war, the future of Shiites in a Sunni-dominated Arab world is in question. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Dexter Filkins considers the future of Hezbollah if Syria's regime falls. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.